to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Saturday, June 2nd, we're coming to you live from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. We got the AM FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org, our official internet headquarters. We got 2 hours left during tonight's broadcast of our award-winning show, and it's going to be chock full of information. Before we get back to business, let's go back to the phones. Mike in Chicago been waiting since the end of the first hour. Mike, thanks for holding, and what can we do for you tonight?
Yeah, can you guys hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Okay, great. Now, first, I'll just say I love the show. I love that you're willing to expose neoconservative Zionist Jewish control on things like our foreign policy and our financial policy, and along with the problems of diversity. And just a quick question I want to ask you guys is,
sure.
You talk about your Christianity, which is cool with me. I mean, I'm not a religious person of any kind, but, you know, I did spend time in the church, and I agree with you guys' views on, on separation, keeping the races pure and everything. But, you know, the time I spent in evangelical church, they were evangelical churches, and they would stress Bible passages such as, I remember from the book of Revelation talking about, every tongue, tribe, and nation, and then Galatians 3:28. So, I mean, how do you reconcile your views on race and with Christianity? Because Christianity seems to be, in a lot of ways, pro diversity. And then one last thing, you mentioned Adrian Rogers, and if I remember correctly, he was a big time supporter of Israel, and he was a Christian Zionist, unfortunately. So, What do you think about that?
All right, all very good questions, and thank you for the compliments, and thank you for asking for some clarifications on some good points. First of all, with regards to Christianity, I will say that Europe experienced its greatest strides under the banner of Christ, and even if it hadn't, it would still be my faith of choice, because I believe it is the correct and only way to heaven. But other than that, Keith is saying that a lot of the churches now are using the Bible to push a multiculturalist agenda. What does the Bible say about it specifically? And is it just the church's modern day interpretation of Scripture that they're perverting to get to these ends? And with regards to Adrian Rogers, was he a Christian Zionist? And let's talk about Christian Zionism in the church today. And in fact, both of those questions and both of those topics go hand in hand.
Well, let's take them one at a time. First of all, there's nothing inconsistent with being a member of a tribe and saying that every tribe shall, acknowledge God and acknowledge Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There's nothing that says that there's something illegitimate about racial solidarity. If there is, why does having a sense of racial solidarity make you an invalid Christian? If that's the case, someone really needs to have a heart-to-heart talk with all of these black churches in America, because they are not interested in integrating their flocks at all. In fact, people like Steve Gaines are just turning backflips trying to get blacks to join Bellevue Baptist, a predominantly white church. They have this program called Bellevue Loves Memphis. Almost every white church, be it Roman Catholic or Protestant, has some good deeds in the ghetto outreach, and they hunger for black people to come to their churches, but black people typically don't want to come to their churches because they have a healthy sense of racial solidarity. And secondly, remember that all of Europe, for the two millennia since the coming of Christ, has been known by the alternate name of Christendom. Christianity and the white race have been synonymous in the eyes of most of the world. In fact, that's why you have something like the Nation of Islam. Muslims were much crueler to black people. Slavery in the East African slave trade going to Muslim countries was much harsher than the West African slave trade, but because Christianity is identified with white people, that's why black people instinctively go to the Nation of Islam. That's why you have things like that going on. So, you know, there's a lot of disingenuity going on about that. Now, regard that, and I'll get let me get James on this, and we'll get back to the second part of your question.
Yeah, well, and two, and we've talked about this issue. You know, you're talking about over 1,000 shows we've done since we first went on the air in 2004, and this has been a recurring topic of these shows where you could find them in the archives. You know, it's like a needle in the haystack. We have talked about this. We've littered our archives with this topic. I don't think that the word of God, obviously, is at fault, and that's just an understatement. I think the way that it has been interpreted, I mean, you didn't have the phenomenon of Christian Zionism and multiculturalism perverting the churches even as late as the 1950s and 60s. This is a relatively new phenomenon, dispensationalism, Christian Zionism. That's something that has been infiltrated and implemented at the seminaries and in modern-day churches in very recent years, Keith. So certainly Christianity going back pre to that would have been without these what we would call perversions of the word.
Well, let me tell you what the orthodox position of the Christian church is. The Roman Catholics and the mainline Protestants still adhere to this view. It's called, in the Roman Catholic Church, replacement theology. Jews were the chosen people until the coming of Christ. Christ, as the Son of God and the manifestation of God on earth, put people to a choice. And thereafter, after Christ's death, you were, the chosen people were Christians, no longer Jews. That is the orthodox position. That's the position of the church basically from the time of its founding until today in most churches. Some fundamentalist churches have fallen into a heresy called Jewish dispensationalism. The source of this heresy was the theology of a Scottish theologian named John Darby, who wrote between 1820 and the 1850s, and his ideas found their way into the Scofield Bible. And the Scofield Bible is the fundamental Bible from which all of these modern versions of fundamentalist Bibles come from, not the old King James Version. You won't find Jewish dispensationalism in the King James Bible.
Well, with that being said, it's still Saturday night, a little early for Sunday school, but he called with a question pertaining to the faith that God's the host of this show, and so we're going to answer it. Well, I say it's a little early for Sunday school. We do have listeners in Eastern Europe and Australia who are staying up to the wee hours of Sunday morning to tune in live tonight, and we're thankful for them, as we're thankful for everyone. But nevertheless, we're going to get back to some contemporary political topics after this forthcoming commercial break. I'm going to read a headline to you, and you would think that this has to be a joke or the punchline is going to be coming shortly after I read the headline, but keep in mind where we're living now, ladies and gentlemen. Keep in mind we're living in Orwellian America. When we come back from the break, here's the topic. Trayvon Martin Day declared at Malcolm X Elementary School. Wrap your mind around that, and we'll tell you the story after this.
There's more political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child, or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
When the truth is found. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. I got a problem here in the studio. I know we're going to be talking about Trayvon Martin Day being declared at Malcolm X Elementary School, but I was looking a little later on down the hour at my agenda, and I can't read my writing. I'm old school. I don't use computers more than I have to, so I bring in handwritten notes to help guide along the show. And I'm looking at fourth segment, and it looks like it says fruit, but I know that can't be right because I don't eat fruit. Or vegetables, for that matter. Maybe that's what we were... Keith, tell them what my note card looks like here.
It's scribbled all over. Yeah, James should have been a doctor. The way he writes is absolutely indecipherable. Okay, let me just, before we get on very much further, let me make another comment regarding the caller that we had earlier from Chicago. He was basically inquiring about why we make such a big deal out of religion, okay, which we do, and the Christian faith. Well, we believe, like the founding fathers, that you cannot have a successful republic without having a moral population. Benjamin Franklin said this famously. And furthermore, they also thought that you can't have a moral public without having that public tethered to religion. It's like love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. Well, so do public morality and religion. Patrick Henry said, virtue, morality, and religion. These are the foundation, or these are our armor, and only the armor that will protect us. Without them, we are fallen, indeed. Furthermore, George Washington said, we should view with skepticism any supposition that you can maintain public morality without religion. He said, you cannot have a religious people without a moral people without religion, and you can't have a successful republic without a moral people. So consequently, we believe, like the founding fathers, de Tocqueville made comments about this. He said that he could not tell you whether all Americans had a authentic faith, because who can plumb the heart of man? But he said that all Americans believe that religion is essential to having a healthy republic.
De Tocqueville also said, since we're going to be quoting the legends here, he said that America would rather be equal in slavery than free otherwise, meaning, and I'm paraphrasing his quote there, and I just read this recently again, basically, we would rather all be enslaved with the chains of diversity than carry on and be free as we once were. Trayvon Martin Day declared at Malcolm X Elementary School in Washington, D.C. Now, in a sane society, you would read this headline, immediately recognize it to be a joke, and move on. But we do not live in a sane society. Here's a story from a Washington, D.C. affiliate news station. In an effort to better educate students and their parents about race relations and social injustice in Washington, D.C., an elementary school has declared Trayvon Martin Day. Teachers at Malcolm X Elementary are using the unfolding of the case and the surrounding media as part of their Let's Keep Our Children Safe seminar. Every adult who attends the seminar is going to receive an Arizona iced tea, and each student will receive a bag of Skittles. Keith, we'll just have to use our good sense, since obviously we didn't go to this thing. But we got the news story there about it, folks, so go check it out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But what do you imagine was talked about during this great seminar? I can hear him now. You know, Trayvon Martin was killed by
a pernicious honky.
Racial injustice.
By some pernicious honky.
Who just happened to be Hispanic.
Who just happened, one, to be Hispanic. And, again, black people seem to be, able to find the speck in their stranger's eye, their racial stranger's eye, but they can't see the piece of lumber in their own. Of all the black people that are murdered in America every year, I saw this statistic and it's absolutely jaw-dropping. Out of all the black people that are murdered in America every year, 94% are murdered by other black people. But of course, since that doesn't move the liberal agenda forward, that is forgotten about. That is taboo to talk about. On the other hand, something like Trayvon Martin is going to be blown all out of proportion. They try to turn a Hispanic guy into a white guy because he has a white sounding name, just to make the stupid point that somehow white people are a threat to the physical safety of black people, when of course the reality is just the absolute mirror opposite of that.
Well, Keith, you're talking about they. They are spinning this Trayvon Martin story. Who are they? Well, obviously, we're talking about the establishment media, and the establishment media is dying. I'm going to give you a bit of good news, then we got a logjam of callers we got to alleviate. The New Orleans Times-Picayune is ending daily publication. Now, why is this significant? Well, for a couple of reasons. Number one is alternative mainstream media venues like the Political Cesspool and Liberty News Radio continue to grow. Establishment rags like the Times-Picayune will continue to die on the vine. And I think this is a story certainly that gives us cause for celebration. I'm going to read it quickly, and then we're going to go to the phones. The New Orleans Times-Picayune, the paper that became internationally famous for its courageous reporting of Hurricane Katrina, is facing steep cuts and will end its 175-year history of daily publication, the paper announced on Thursday. The move will leave New Orleans as the biggest city in the country without a major daily paper. Great news, Keith. As I said, Lord, just let me live long enough to see the daily paper in Memphis follow the Times-Picayune out the door. But it's no wonder, of course, why newspapers like this are dying. White people are the only people who subscribe to newspapers, and everything they read is a browbeating sermon about how bad they are. Why would they want to subscribe? Millions of European Americans are looking for more objective sources of information. We're doing our part to provide it. Keith, a quick word, and we got to go to the phones.
They're dying. Daily newspapers are dying for the same reason that churches are dying. Church denominations are dying. When people ask for a fish and they're given a serpent, when they ask for a loaf and they're given a stone, when they ask for news and they're given liberal indoctrination, people vote with their feet. They're voting with their feet away from the New Orleans Times-Picayune, just like people are voting with their feet out of the establishment churches of America today, because they know they're getting heresy. They know that they're getting poison from these sources. And thank goodness they have a good instinct about that, because if they did not, heaven help us. You know, that's why we have faith that we're getting through to people with the truth. The only reason we're succeeding on this radio program is because we tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, when the mainstream media is full of lies and prevarications and half-truths, and a half-truth is another word for a lie.
All right, we have just a few seconds before our next break. I want to see if I can possibly work a caller in, another one from Chicago, or is it the same one? We'll find out. Caller in Chicago, you're on the air.
Hi, James. And guys, nice to talk to you. Long time listener, first time caller.
Well, great to have you. Thank you.
Anyway, last month I came across an article that I didn't read very often. I just read it once. Looked around a lot for it. And it was about a pitcher who retired about early 90s, pitched for the Boston Red Sox, primarily Dennis Oil Can Boyd. And he had, in the beginning of last month, had mentioned that he very strongly he hated Jackie Robinson because of the his Oil Can Boyd's tactics were very much attuned to being in the Negro Leagues. He was would be considered a hot dog, type of an athlete. He also indulged heavily in cocaine and other things. But his, I thought it was very striking that he said he hated Jackie Robinson for basically ending the color barrier in baseball. That was one point I wanted to quickly cover, and the other was. I had sent you an email last month again.
Well, hey, my friend, if you could hold on right there. I hate to interrupt, but we got a hard break coming up. Stay right there. Hold on the line, and we're going to let you make your second point right after these words. Stay tuned, my friends.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs, and there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift. Freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number 3, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, directly back to the phones, our friend in Chicago. Two callers from Chicago tonight. We're like Bad Bad Leroy Brown up there. We got a clock. You were saying, my friend, that you sent me an email last month, and that's when the break took over.
Yeah, I'm sorry, James. Yeah, I'm a bit under the weather. I've had a cold.
Don't worry about it.
Within a month. It's terrible. I sent a letter about a YouTube channel called Shaggy Locks Channel, and I just wanted to get that out for people to maybe your listeners to be aware of it. Yeah, this guy's downloaded about 378 really wholesome, you know, white stuff videos that train our kids how to behave and etiquette and warning them against homosexuality and communism. It's just a great video channel I ran into about, like I said, about 350 to 370 videos, like 10, 20-minute videos from the 50s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, stuff I've never seen anywhere before. I just think it's fantastic.
Well, listen, that's what we're here to do. We're here to use our forum to promote other people that are doing good work, and I'm not 100% familiar. You said you sent me an email. I might have overlooked it. That's rare that it happens, but from time to time it slips through. But listen, I thank you for calling in tonight and making your comments and observations and for giving that plug, because, again, we're here to cross-pollinate. We're here to get word out about others who are doing good work and use our venue and forum to promote their deeds. And, again, thank you for listening, and thank you for calling, and we hope to hear from you again in the future.
Good work. Thank you.
No problem. And I know we have another caller waiting on the line. Caller number two, where are you calling from this evening?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes. Hello, Mr. Edwards. Joe from PA calling.
All right, Joe from Pennsylvania. Now, are you the same Joe that sent me the great clip, you know, speaking of YouTube, and we posted this one back last Sunday of the young girl singing the country song?
I'm afraid I am.
Well, no need to apologize. I liked it enough to put it on the blog. So, anyway, I doubt that's what you're calling in for, yeah. But just for the sake of it all.
I got your response to my email attachment, and I appreciate it.
Hey, no, thank you. What can we do for you tonight, Joe?
I very much enjoyed that young lady singing.
I enjoyed it myself.
Yeah. Anyway, comments. Regarding the one of the previous callers' question regarding the Bible,
right?
You have to study your Bible, and you have to read it in light of the fact that it is written to a people, and that's basically what I had to say about that. And the other comment I had to make was the Zimmerman character, he was Jewish.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard he was really a cornucopia. He was...
despite the fact that he might have been from Latin America,
right.
His parents, at least one side, he's Jewish.
Well, he's a little bit of a lot of things, but I have heard from a couple of different credible sources that, in fact, there is, you know, some Jewish in his ethnic makeup, as well as obviously Latino and I guess a little bit of white in there and a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But I mean, he's far from the blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy that he's being typecast throughout the media as.
Yeah, I mean, a week
he's like the Donnie Murray song. He's a little bit country and a little bit rock and roll. He's got everything. He's a Heinz 57, basically. But because he has a German-sounding name, and, of course, German names are very often Jewish names, as you've pointed out.
Yes.
And in this case, I think his father was Jewish. His mother was Peruvian. But regardless, the point is that he is not of the founding stock of America, and they were hoping against hope that he was. See, what the left is always looking for is that Alabama lynching story that never seems to happen anymore. So when it doesn't happen, they try to improvise, and they'll try to improvise a Jewish Latino guy to substitute for a member of America's founding stock. It doesn't, you know, they don't let a little thing like the truth or the facts get in the way of a good story, do they, James?
No, they don't, Joe. And thank you, my friend, for calling. We hope to hear more from you. Keep sending me good videos. Let's go to Andrew in Alabama. You mentioned Alabama, and here's an Alabama caller. Andrew, you're on the line with James Keith and the Political Cesspool.
Yes, gentlemen. First of all, wonderful program, as always. May I say, I believe that George Zimmerman was adopted. He wasn't
yes, that's
actually...
true.
You know,
that's true.
That's why he has that name. I believe he is completely Peruvian. But anyway, I was going to. There was an earlier caller who asked Keith a question. Was Adrian Rogers, or is he? I'm not sure.
He passed away a few years back, but.
Okay.
But nevertheless.
But what was his connection with Christian Zionism? And I would like to take that off the air.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I hope Keith has the answer, because I do know that Adrian Rogers, and this comes from people who went to that church. Now, I've never been a member of Bellevue, and I've always gone to a very small Southern Baptist church, even though Bellevue's right down the road and it's the biggest in the world. But I have heard that Adrian Rogers was a believer in racial integrity, equal rights for all, special privileges for none. I do know that he quoted scripture when he refused to marry an interracial couple a couple of decades ago. Now, that being said, was he a Christian Zionist? Keith, I hope you know, because I don't.
Look, I don't know for certain. I would not be at all surprised if that were the case later in life. But let me just tell you this. He wasn't nearly as out front about it as somebody like, let's say, John Hagee. Where all this Christian Zionism comes from, it's the real name for it is Jewish dispensationalism. In other words, the Jews can do no wrong. He who blesses Israel is blessed. He who curses Israel is cursed. The source of this is John Darby, a Scottish theologian that most of us would never have heard about, but for the fact that he had a great influence on Scofield and the Scofield Bible. You know, if you read that Bible, it doesn't have the blood curse. It doesn't have all sorts of other things in it that are in, let's say, the Vulgate, the traditional Roman Catholic Bible, or the King James Bible, which is the traditional mainline Protestant Bible, and was the Bible for the fundamentalists until, Protestantism is based on several principles, one of which, foundational principles, is called sola scriptura. Only the scripture, not the creeds of man or the pronouncements of man like a pope or something like this. And that's a great principle, but if you're going to adhere to that principle, you've got to stop rewriting the Bible every 10 years. Remember the last words of the Bible, the last words of the book of Revelation. It says, it pronounces a curse on anybody that would be so much as change, add one word or delete one word from the foregoing text. Well, that's what all of this criticism, so-called higher criticism of the Bible, going back to sources and whatnot, was meant to do. The fundamentalists, to their credit, originally when this idea came out in the 19th century, were very opposed to it. Now they are in the forefront of trying to dig out what the Bible says, and what a surprise, what they have it saying tends to be fit hand in glove with what the liberals are trying to force down our collective throats. So I'm very dubious about this. Adrian Rogers, I'm not trying to claim that he was the second coming of Christ or that he was perfect in any way, but he was a refreshing difference from Richard Land. Richard Land was hoisted on the petard of his own making. Black Southern Baptists apparently took him down. Where did the Southern Blacks Baptists come from? They were invited into the church by none other than Richard Land. He's like Dr. Frankenstein, who is pursued and ultimately destroyed by his own creation. So again, turnabout is fair play. You know, he got what was coming to him, apparently. He's on the ropes. And, you know, I'll still stand up for Adrian Rogers, because he did really take a manly stand against liberalism in the 80s.
And again, just to clarify our points on these issues. We always get denigrated and mischaracterized as this, 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 and this when you read any articles written about us by our detractors. But basically, we believe in equal rights for all, special privileges for none. We believe that every racial group and ethnic group is entitled to have their spokespeople and issues and media that advance their interests. God bless them for that. We're all for it. But we're going to serve as spokespeople for our group. And for our interests, and as long as we have the God-given right to freedom of speech, we're going to practice it. I don't necessarily believe in forced segregation, but I certainly don't believe in forced integration. I'm all for freedom of association and the ability to do business with whom you would choose, the ability to associate with whom you would choose. We ought to have enough freedom to decide that for ourselves and not have the government telling us who we have to hire, who we have to go to school with, so on and so forth. That's what the political cesspool is all about. We're going to take a break, folks. When we come back, it's going to be all about you, the listener, once again. Stay tuned.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rainfly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, I want to tell you something. Eddie the Bombardier Miller just walked into the studio. We've got a... Bombs will be flying during the third hour with the Bombardier on deck. And what we've got coming up for you in the third hour is an interview, as Sam Bushman, owner of this network, is my witness, an interview that has been 3 months in the making, I think. Eddie has got a former DEA agent coming on, and he was an infiltrator in the infamous Pablo Escobar drug ring. He's going to be talking about that and much, much more. He has a book out about the subject that we're going to be promoting. You're not going to want to miss it. A former DEA agent that infiltrated the Escobar drug gang and lived to tell the tale. He's going to be telling the tale live tonight on the Political Cesspool during the third hour, which, just as it happens, is coming up in about 15 minutes. So, folks, stay tuned for this. I'm telling you, Eddie has been prepping for this interview for 3 months. So this better be good, Eddie, I'll tell you what. Hey, but before we get to the DEA agent, and it's not every day that a DEA agent comes on the cesspool, so we're excited about this. Keith, you know, we kicked off the show tonight reading some letters from fans from around the country, around the world, and I want to talk a little bit more about our fans. And I got a picture pulled up here in the studio of a guy that lives, this is one of our fans, one of our loyal listeners, actually one of our biggest contributors. His name is Howard, and he lives in Alaska, and he's a trucker. So doesn't that just fit the description? Howard, Alaska, trucker, political cesspool fan, political cesspool donor. Well, Howard sent me an email not long ago that contained a picture of him with a fish that he caught up there in Alaska. And Howard, I don't know. I'm saying it's just a picture, but I'm going to say Howard's easily 6 feet tall, over 200 pounds, and that's being generous here. Howard, a strapping, strong man. Keith, tell him about the fish in this picture with Howard that we're looking at right now.
The point is, Howard is no small man, and this fish is every bit as big, if not bigger, than Howard. It's got to be bigger than Howard. So apparently he is a great fisherman, as well as having unerring judgment about political commentary.
Well, that's absolutely right, and I always enjoy my exchanges with Howard. But he sent this picture, and I've been meaning for weeks to work it into the show. But you know, this fish looks like something out of the Jurassic era. I mean, it's some sort of a dinosaur fish that he caught up there in the wilds of Alaska. But I would say, guys, not only is it bigger than Howard, it's twice his size. It's a halibut. It's a halibut. So maybe Howard made some money off that. Well, I say all that to say this. You know, we're talking about our fans. We're talking about our support team, our family out there in the listening audience. What are you saying about our work? Well, we read some fan mail earlier in the show, and we mentioned at that time that we're blessed to receive the letters and emails each week from these folks, from you, ladies and gentlemen. The sheer amount of correspondence that comes in is a testament to the fact that our work is positively impacting our listeners, and that's what we're here to do. While it's impossible to read all of it, I did have a special request come in this week, Keith, from a listener named Eric in Arizona. And Eric is a loyal listener there in that state who was responding to our second quarter fundraising drive, which kicked off last week. And here's what he had to say. He writes this. Hello, James. I just made my monthly contribution and wanted to thank you for all of your hard work and sacrifice. Knowing how difficult it is for you to ask for donations, I was hoping that you would let me make the following request from me to all of the TPC listeners. And here's what he writes, and he wanted this posted publicly, and I'm going to do him one better. And not only is it posted on the blog tonight, we're going to read it right here on the live airwaves. Here's what Eric writes. As a person who follows the political cesspool and is appalled at the lack of representation for the rights of whites, I'm asking my fellow listeners to commit to a monthly contribution to TPC. To those who say they can't afford to contribute, I say you can't afford not to contribute. The easiest way to justify opening your wallet is to think of your contribution as an entertainment expense, although I view it as much more than that. In order to make sure that I have enough left over to give to the cesspool, I have called all of my disposable service companies and renegotiated price reductions for services rendered. This list includes Dish, AT&T Wireless, my internet service provider, my State Farm insurance, fast food spending, pro sporting events, and even the firing range. He says that he shoots one box of ammo instead of two now. The point is that if you put some effort into it, the money is already there. Heck, I even saved money after my monthly contribution. Just think what could be done if there was 1,000 people or 10,000 people who made this decision. Search your soul, and as God is my witness, I will guarantee that making this commitment to the political cesspool will give you a sense of pride, belonging, and sacrifice for the greater good. Thank you. And again, that comes from a loyal listener, Eric in Arizona. And again, you know, Keith and Eddie, having men like Eric behind us makes all the difference in the world. The fact that he wanted me to publicize his appeal on our behalf is very, very moving. And to follow that up, you know, I say our primary job here on the airwaves is to educate, entertain, and foster a sense of European-American pride while pointing out the hypocrisies of race and politics in the world today. If you are supportive of your efforts, ladies and gentlemen, do what Eric has asked you to do. We need your support. We need you to contribute. And again, our second quarter fundraising drive kicked off on May 25th. It ends on June 30th. And I'm just going to read the first names of everyone who has contributed so far. We're only about a week and a half into it. But here's who's contributed so far. Just their first names: John, Franz, Barbara, Billy, Eric, Keith, Susan, Jason, Sean, Michael, Stephen, Matt, Jeff, Mike, Michael, Robert, Clive, William, Danny, Gary, James, Sean, Timothy, Connor, Ken, Raymond, Brian, Jim, Charles, Nancy, John, Dennis, and David. Now, if you've donated since May 25th, your name was just called. If you haven't donated, do it now. And you can do it right now at thepoliticalcesspool.org. You can go there and make a safe, secure, and discreet credit card contribution. And, of course, we've got a great incentive offer. Those who donate $100 or more will receive a DVD of Sam Bushman's speech, "He Who Owns the Media Makes the Rules." Folks, I saw Sam, and he's the owner, of course, of this network that syndicates TPC to the national airwaves. I saw him deliver this speech in person, and I must say that it was one of the most impactful talks that I've ever heard, and it ties in directly to the work we're doing on the radio. We've gotten off to a good start with our current fundraising drive, but that is exactly what it is thus far, a good start. We still have a lot of ground to cover in a very short amount of time, and we can't make it to the finish line without people like you and Eric and those who have contributed. So go contribute tonight. You donate $100, you're going to get Sam's DVD, and you'll be helping to keep us on the airwaves. That being said, Keith, over to you. Let's give the fans their due one more time before we bring Pappy on to start dropping those bombs.
Yeah, the fans are the whole show as far as I'm concerned. We exist for you. If we didn't have an audience out there, we wouldn't be doing this. But we're reaching more and more people all the time. We may repeat ourselves at times because we have new people joining our listenership all the time. This is Radio Free America. Radio Free, not just Europe, but America, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, all over the world. We have found that we are listened to, and we are striking sparks like flint and steel with people. People hunger for the truth. You know, what does the Bible say? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They know they're getting a fish when they ask for a fish, not a serpent when they listen to this radio program. We are being as honest, and our comments are as heartfelt as they could possibly be. We have gone through the fires, ladies and gentlemen. We know the difference between the truth and half-truths, reasonable facsimiles, things like this. We don't express an opinion unless we are 100% convinced of its authenticity and correctness. Now, there's just, you know, there's so many different outlets out here. I listen to NPR, I listen to mainstream conservatism, and I think these people are basically trying to put their audience to sleep. If you heard the truth, I mean, it would make you swerve off the road listening to one of these other, like a Sean Hannity or a Bill O'Reilly or somebody like that, Glenn Beck. You know, you talk about Jewish dispensationalism. I mean, Glenn Beck is sold out lock, stock, and barrel to them. We talk about topics that you're not going to find talked about elsewhere. And people just recently, for example, were trying to buy James off. Don't talk about this stuff, and they dangle the carrot out there. You know, you'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise. You're going to, it's like the temptation of Christ, basically. You know, they're trying their best to stuff a sock in the mouth of one of the very few mainstream media outlets that will talk about what is really ailing America and the white nations of the world generally. They will not, you know, and if you don't hear this, you can hear the rest of it. But if you don't hear this, you're not hearing the essentials. And if you don't hear the essentials, you can't take appropriate steps to cure yourself from liberalism. Liberalism is the problem. Liberalism is a strategy. but liberalism comes from somewhere. Liberalism uses certain groups, but it is not the brainchild of that group. And we know we get right to the source of things here.
Hey, Keith, and we couldn't do it without you, and make no mistake about it, the hosting staff. My God, you know, we thank the audience, and just due is given there. But the hosting staff, with some of all of our parts. If you want to read a great article tonight, folks, go and read Winston Smith's column entitled Another Hate Industry Startup, the Omar Thornton Memorial Fund. Best article I've read in a long, long time, and it's right there at thepoliticalcesspool.org. When we come back, Eddie the Bombardier Miller is going to be talking to a DEA agent. Bombs away, folks. We'll be right back.